This is episode number 472 with the F2 Freestylers. Welcome to the School of Greatness. My name is Lewis Howes, former pro athlete turned lifestyle entrepreneur. And each week we bring you an inspiring person or message to help you discover how to unlock your inner greatness. Thanks for spending some time with me today. Now let the class begin. Welcome everyone to the School of Greatness. We've got a couple of athletes in the studio today, and I'm excited about this because I always love to connect with athletes because it brings me back to my roots, back to the primal days of competing. Now, Billy Wingrove and Jeremy Lynch make up the F2 Freestylers. Now, these guys are the world's largest soccer YouTube channel with over 5.5 million subscribers, larger than any other celebrity soccer player out there. And they're based in London, UK. They began as individual freestyle soccer performers, just working on the streets or little company gigs, things like that, doing trick performances as individuals. And after successful individual freestyle careers, they decided to team up and form a double act, thus the birth of the F2. Now, the rapid growth of their social channels, fueled by insane skill compilations, led us to today, where F2 are global ambassadors for Adidas Football, the brand's first ever official influencer partnership. Now, here's what I love about these guys. These guys weren't really making that much money doing things on their own, but together they were able to build such a powerful, massive brand that's making them more money than most of the pro soccer players out there. And it's so cool to see how quickly they did it. So in this interview, we're going to talk about how Billy and Jeremy went from freelance freestylers to the biggest soccer YouTube channel in the world, why failure can be the perfect springboard to success, how to create true fans, the keys to a successful professional partnership, because I've been in partnerships that have done incredible. I've been in partnerships that have not done that well. And we talk about how to make it work extremely well so all parties win and you guys don't kill each other. Also, how to create media content that appeals to a worldwide audience. I am pumped for this one. And before we dive in, I want to give a shout out to our iTunes review of the week. Now, this is from Shop Girl, who said, "I don't know how I found this podcast, but I know that it came at a time when I needed it most. It's like I manifested the School of Greatness, and maybe it found me. This podcast has been a life changer for me. I've always loved learning, but going back to school is expensive and not always necessary. Once I started listening, I realized this is school. I've learned so much from Lewis and his guests. Since I've started this podcast, I've started 2 businesses. He's given me the courage to never give up. Some of my favorite episodes were with Chris Lee, Mel Robbins, Chris Voss, Scooter, and Adam Braun. Okay, I could go on forever. Lewis has given so much by introducing me to so many great people. Other than buying his book, the only other way that I could thank him is by recommending his podcast to everyone I know. My mom and my sister both love the School of Greatness. Keep doing what you're doing. Thank you for everything, and I look forward to more great interviews." So, Shop Girl, whatever your real name is, thank you so much for that incredible review. It always warms my heart to hear these messages from people who are building businesses or creating amazing relationships or healing themselves or losing the weight or becoming greater in some area of your life. So if you haven't left a review yet, I'd love to hear your story over at iTunes.com/greatness. And for your chance to be the review of the week, make sure to leave one right now. All right, gang, without further ado, let me introduce to you the dynamic freestyle football duo, Billy and Jeremy from the F2 Freestylers. Welcome back, everyone, to the School of Greatness podcast. Excited about our guest today. We usually don't have 2 people on, but we do today. We've got the F2 Freestylers in the house. Good to see you guys.
Good to see you, too.
Thanks for having us. How are you guys doing?
Really good, man. Yeah. Really good. This is such a cool room.
It's so cool.
Yeah, it's not bad, right? Yeah. We just redesigned this, so we're trying to make the Studio of Greatness inspirational for people who come here.
You've done it. Well, look at the Hall of Fame. I mean, look at the images there.
We'll get you on there soon. After this, we'll get some good photos and get you up there. But I'm excited you guys are here, and
I'm an American football player, the real football, right?
We don't want to start on that note.
I'm just teasing. You guys are doing the, in America, it's called soccer, but it's called football in the UK and everywhere else in the world. And you guys do essentially a lot of combination trick shots. You do different skill training, things like that in videos to inspire, educate, and entertain. Is that right?
He's pretty much summed us up.
That's literally bang on of what we do.
That's it. But you guys have millions. You have like 5 million on YouTube subscribers. You got millions on Instagram, and people know you all over the world, except for in the US. But it's starting to grow.
It's starting to grow, yeah. 15% of our audience is based in the US, which is quite a big number. We've got, collectively across social media, we've got 12 million fans.
Amazing.
Which is really good going for two football guys.
12.8 now.
I checked it two days ago. I'm a day off. I'm joking.
No, that's got to be bigger than some of the big stars. I mean, what's a Messi have on his social reach?
Probably, it depends. Different stars are bigger on different platforms, right? Messi's big on Facebook.
Yeah,
he's big on everything.
But you guys probably have a bigger reach than a lot of the big stars in the Premier League, I would assume.
Well, if you take YouTube, for example, Real Madrid have a YouTube channel, Barcelona. We have the biggest soccer YouTube channel in the whole world. So nobody's bigger than us. And on Instagram, out of the whole, anyone in the UK, we get more views on Instagram than anyone in the UK, any celebrity.
You have more views on Instagram than anyone in the UK?
Yeah, anyone.
Than any video.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Sports.
I don't know the exact stat.
Don't quote me, but it's average, probably.
We do silly numbers. I remember one month we did more views in that month than Kylie Jenner and Cristiano Ronaldo and Ariana Grande. It was something, that was a one-off month.
Right.
They beat us all.
I think it is views, that's right. Any video on YouTube, Instagram, we do outperform.
I think.
But it's a bit of a tricky one really, because with Instagram, mainly people post images, right? But we got content as well, so.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
Amazing, when did you guys start this?
We started the F2 about 4 years ago.
Wow, it's grown that fast?
Yeah, it's been a really fast journey. But we knew each other from before then, but we were individual professional football freestylers for quite a few years before
the F2.
That's just football tricks. Like,
entertainers.
Yeah.
Stage shows,
live performances with just you and a football.
Or busking on the street type of thing, kind of.
We've done a bit. Well, I did.
That's how it starts, right?
Right, like, you're performing in the street, trying to make $100.
Yeah,
right?
That is how it starts.
That's how it starts, and then you start getting bigger performances.
Mm-hmm. Someone will see you there and be like, "Hey, come do this thing, this company, whatever." Right? Yeah.
That's how it started.
And you start building your own personal brand, and then how did you guys meet each other then?
How did we meet each other?
Well, we've known each other for years, and it's basically been from the circuit. So when we were younger, and I'm talking about in our early teens. I knew about Jeremy. He lived in East London. I lived in North London.
I was like, "Who's this guy? He keeps trying to call me. I don't know who he is." I'm joking. We knew each other from back.
Yeah. And we actually met at a football tournament where Jeremy was performing, and so was I. Separate stands.
Right.
And we kept in touch since then. And I got Jeremy to sign with my agency at the time because he came off the back of Britain's Got Talent, and he didn't have no management representing you, and I felt that.
How far did you go in the show?
I got to the semi-finals, the live semi-finals.
Wow.
And then dropped the ball twice, which was car crash television, but it's memorable. Car crash television is memorable. And if I ask, it was funny, at the time I was devastated.
Right.
In tears.
It's like the worst feeling ever.
My career's
over.
Yeah, the most, you know that gutty feeling you have in your stomach when something terrible happens and you feel totally humiliated. I had all of that for ages. But then when I look back now, it was one of the best things that happened to
really?
Me. Because it was so memorable, and I was really confident, overconfident, and that's why I made those mistakes back then. I was a young kid, borderline cocky. So the British public, if they see someone who's really confident and successful,
they
kind of want to see it go wrong.
Really?
And I gave them that without meaning to.
Wow.
And then from then on, it endeared me to the British public so much more than if I had done a perfect, flawless routine. I can see that now and look back. And it's so memorable. And people still to this day remember that performance and say, oh, you still thought it was amazing. Dropped the ball twice. Didn't matter. Loved it. Still voted for you. But at the time, obviously, you're just
embarrassing. You know, your ego hurts.
Oh, everything. Yeah.
Man.
But the funny thing about that is I remember saying to Jez, I remember when he was on the show and he could have won. He was the most popular person on that show.
Oh, really?
And if he didn't drop the ball, he would have won it. And what Jeremy's downfall was, I feel, is that when you went onto the show, he tried to create a whole new routine just for that show. Mm. There's 12 million people watching this show. 99% of them have never seen him do a trick before. Right, so he could have kept it simple and gone through to the final and won the show. But he wanted to create something brand new just for that performance. Which is added pressure, right? Doing something for the first time live.
Isn't it hard though? Like as a speaker myself, I get bored of saying the same thing over and over to all these different audiences, but they've never heard me say the same thing.
Yeah.
But I think, I got to tell a different story. This isn't going to be interesting. This is going to be boring or whatever.
Yeah.
Or you just want to do it for yourself even.
I'm with you. What do you
like,
do?
I'm doing the same trick over and over. Like,
what do you do? Do you keep it the same or do you mix it up?
It depends on the audience and what they're wanting, but I pretty much say a lot of the similar stuff.
Yeah, because it's good information, right?
Yeah. And then a lot of them haven't heard it. So, again, it's like you got to do what got you there.
Yeah.
You know?
I agree.
But if you only had a coach then. If you only
That's what I was thinking. If I had a mentor back then, someone who'd give me that wise little bit of advice.
The F2 wouldn't have been born.
That's true.
If you had won, what would have happened?
I probably would have been...
How much
do you know what? I don't know. I don't know. I'd like to think that we would have still come together as the F2 because even with me messing up and not winning, we were still the two most successful freestylers in the world.
Really?
On our individual paths.
You were.
And it just so happened that we lived 28 miles from each other. Hmm. We got along really, really well. We stayed in touch. And we were on a lot of the same jobs together as individuals. And then we started to do little bits in synchrony together when we didn't have to. We were on the jobs as individuals, right? But we were like, let's step this up and let's do this at the same time. And the response to it was incredible.
Choreographed.
Choreographed, yeah.
Yeah, basically there was loads of people at that time. When we first started freestyle, there wasn't many people about at all doing what we do.
Choreographed.
Not even choreographed, before that, just performing. Yeah. And then years went by and more people got into it. They saw what we were doing and copied that kind of format and practiced all day long. So the demand, how can I put this? Basically, personally, I felt that freestyle had been seen as individually. It's still going on now. It's a bit controversial me saying that, but I feel it'd been seen and done as for individuals.
A bit like The Hills when it came out. It was like, wow, what is this new thing? Reality TV.
Yeah.
And then now everyone's doing it and it's a bit oversaturated.
Yeah, and it's oversaturated and people expect to be amazed. So...
So if you're doing the same thing as someone else is doing, it's like you gotta one up it, right?
Yeah, and that's exactly it. And then
that's
we thought,
a lot of work.
Yeah, but then we thought about how do we evolve what we basically started, and the double act choreograph in sync to music was the way to do that. Nobody's done that before; it's never been seen before.
Now you're gonna need what you got at Universal with the water and the heat.
Yeah,
and
you got to up it. Yeah, but that's what you constantly have to do, don't you? Because
it's true. So we had a clear vision of what we wanted to do as the next step. We'd already got to the top as individuals. We were the most successful individual freestylers, earning the most money.
How much
can
an individual freestyler make today or even 4 years ago?
What were we earning back then? You were earning more than me, I remember that. You were doing really, really well.
No.
It's more like...
For the year?
You'd do a commercial and you'd get a buyout. You'd get like 20 grand maybe from a... And
that's
a bit like modelling.
Yeah, I gotcha. So you might have some good months and bad months.
And then you might do regular PAs and you might get a grand for a PA and you're doing a few of them a week. That type of money.
I think my best year as an individual freestyler... Looking back on it, it was about 80k, which is not bad. Like, and I thought that was like an incredible year. I was super busy. It was a World Cup year.
Wow.
That's as an individual freestyler with just stage show performing as your income. So you have to kind of be in that place to earn the money performing.
Right.
But
now as a tandem, the financial potential is unlimited, well, seems like.
Yeah, well, it's not really performing anymore. See, it's
content now, right?
It's content. So with YouTube, is our main source of income.
Crazy.
It's what we do for a job now. So it's changed from doing stage shows to now creating content for what is like the whole world, really.
Amazing.
See.
You have the largest soccer channel on YouTube, right? Mm-hmm. How often do you post content there?
On YouTube, 3 times a week.
3 times a week.
Across all social, every single day.
Of course. Yeah.
Every
single
day.
And how do you come up with new content for YouTube? Is it always, you know?
Great question.
And that's the key, really.
That is the key.
To being successful.
So you've got millions of people. I know soccer's not the biggest sport in the US, but in the world.
Worldwide, it's the biggest next to cricket, I think, right? Or what is
it? It's the top in the world.
Is it the number one sport in the world?
Yeah.
So what that means is you've got more people playing football than any other sport in the world. And this new social media boom means that so many millions of kids now, they want to be YouTubers. Mm-hmm. So they're all trying to think of soccer ideas for videos that haven't been done before. Mm. So the job that we have is thinking of things that the rest of the millions of people around the world haven't thought of yet. We're pretty good at it.
There's always some kid who's like trying something crazy, right?
Yeah. And we've got a long list. It's just in iPhone notes, a really long list of video ideas that we both come up with. Sometimes he might text me, he might WhatsApp me at 2 in the morning. Jez, got this amazing video idea. It'll go totally viral. And I know when he says that, he's right.
Mm.
So I get the phone. Write it in the list and go back to sleep, and the list is growing quicker than we're ticking them off, so that's good. Hopefully we won't stop coming up with fresh ideas, but I don't think we will. He's got a really creative mind, I've got a creative mind, and together,
and you're talented,
it's a devastating combination.
That's great, man. Wow.
Devastating. You give yourself devastating.
He's involved, I'll give it.
Yeah.
Now, do you play professionally?
Not professionally, no. Only semi-professional.
Semi-professional. Yeah. What does that mean? Did you get paid or no?
Yeah, we got paid. It's my job. Jeremy was actually at Arsenal Youth.
What happened?
They didn't think I was good enough.
Mm.
They were probably right at the time, to be fair to them.
Right, he's too cocky.
Maybe. They said, on the ball, you are amazing. Off the ball, your understanding of the game's not quite good enough. And that was true, to be honest. And I think that comes back down to the humble beginnings where we came from. You know, my dad wasn't a football coach or in the game with any sort of influence or power. Mm. I didn't join a team until I was 12 years old.
Wow.
So I didn't really have that coaching from a young age. So I was raw. I was a bit of a street player, just raw talent, but not the understanding of the sweet science of football.
Mm-hmm.
If there's any boxers that watch, they'll be like, why is he taking our phrase and using it for soccer? the kids at the pro club academies, they're getting coached from, how young would you say, Bill?
5 and 6, they're getting coached from a ridiculous age. I mean, in the UK now, you can start up children's soccer camps at 3 years old.
What?
I mean, yeah.
Can you
walk then? No, yes, it. Mini tots, they call it, and it's just
crazy. What do you do with them? But?
Yeah, they basically just get a pitch, give them the ball, and introduce them to a soccer ball.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
But it's incredible. To be honest, I think that I've got a son that's 2 years old. I would take him to the soccer camp to introduce him. Yeah.
Wow.
I would do that. I would be one of them keen parents that does that.
Sure. Yeah. Sure.
Do you know the funny thing is? YouTube didn't really exist back then so much. It was really new. I think it just come out.
Right.
It wasn't like it is now. So if YouTube was around back then, maybe I would have typed in the search coaching points, like movement off the ball, and tried to get coaching where I didn't have a real life coach, tried to learn that way. So maybe those kids who don't have so much opportunity in this generation, they've got more access to information through social media that didn't exist before.
I definitely would agree with that. I think that's, things have evolved so quickly since YouTube came about. Like, if you take football freestyle, for instance, kids are seeing what you do because it's accessible to them, and they're learning them skills at half your age,
right.
Because they can see they're physically possible. There's tutorials on them. So things have evolved so much more fastly since YouTube came about. And
so crazy.
It's a good point.
What's the vision for you guys moving forward? You've been doing this for 4 years. You've got the largest channel on soccer in the world on YouTube. And, you know, what do you want for the next 4 years?
Great question. Do you want to take this one, or should I take it all together?
I think that we want to continue to grow the F2 brand. We call it a brand because it's we want to... the reason why we came together in the first place was we had individual profiles, and then we thought to ourselves, we want F2 to be a standalone brand, not to be known as individual people and performers. So we created the F2, and after we can't go on doing tricks anymore beyond the pitch, we want that brand to live on. So I think that we will go and find the next F2 and bring younger guys through and show them and give them a chance. We've already started doing it now, where we certify young up-and-coming YouTube channels that are really good, to give them... Basically, it's so hard to break through now for YouTube channels, because there's so many out there.
So much.
People realise that you can earn money from it, therefore they... And it's a fun, easy, enjoyable life. So there's so many people doing it now, it's hard for the good ones to break through.
But, so you're kind of pushing and certifying.
But with our help, so we've got such a big reach that if we show these people to the world, it's so much easier for them to grow.
Yeah.
So after the F2, as in Billy and Jeremy, are done, I think definitely a part of bringing up young talent and managing and nurturing them and showing them to the world is what we'd do.
Mm.
Yeah, I fully agree with that. Like,
why do you guys think soccer still hasn't gotten the popularity in the US like it is the rest of the world?
Great question.
After, you know, all the... Every World Cup, I feel like when the U.S. is like rallying and getting better and better, the country comes together, but then it kind of like dies off. You know what I mean?
It's a great question. I'm not sure. Just thinking aloud, we went to our first NFL game since we've been over here.
Super Bowl.
I was there for the weekend, yeah.
Wow.
Happened insane, to be the greatest NFL game in the history of the NFL.
It was our first game we ever went to.
Wow.
That was our first. That's so crazy. Can we ever go to another game? Yeah, has it ruined
tough.
It
for us? Yeah, yeah.
Is it all downhill from here? Probably. But the point I'm making, we went to our first NFL game, we went to our first NBA game as well. Loved it. Watched the Clippers play. Mm-hmm. The whole experience is like an event. It's, you know, they're considering the audience at all times. If the players go off the pitch, something comes on to...
Spectacle, yeah. Entertainment.
And it's brilliant. And I feel like the States has got certain sports in place, baseball, NFL, hockey, NBA, which are kind of like already solidified as part of the American people's tradition. So for soccer to come and push them to the side and overtake... It's going to be tough. I don't know. Yeah. I don't know if it will happen. I know soccer's growing, but to outgrow the already established sports, which are all amazing in their own right, I don't know. I'm not sure.
Yeah. I think it's tough. Like you said, it's much more fast-paced, like basketball and the entertainment in between stuff, where soccer's like 90 minutes, right? And it's just kind of like the same thing happening the whole time.
Well, that's
a couple moments of excitement, but it's like...
Yeah, that's what I noticed. So going to the Super Bowl and watching the NBA game, there was something happening every couple of minutes, whether it be a tackle, and you make a tackle in NFL, people are celebrating like a goal's gone in. Yeah. Whereas you watch a soccer match, 90 minutes, you might see one, two, three moments where it's exciting, as in goals going in.
Yeah.
So...
Right.
But you gotta have an appreciation for the game, right?
That's if you love soccer, you can appreciate like touches and movements, but it's hard to convert someone that's used to seeing like goal or entertainment really quickly to understanding the beauty of football, soccer.
You know, I used to play soccer, football, before I started playing American football when I was 15. And I played soccer my whole life growing up when I was 5 until 15. And I was on, you know, the youth select teams in Ohio and stuff like that, and did the traveling teams. But for some reason, it was just like, man, the middle of summer, the heat, like just constantly running. Man, I was just too big of a guy to like constantly run. It's like 7 miles a day. It seemed like you're just running. And so I played like every position, but I liked being in goal because I could just kind of like chill there and make plays.
Plus, you're a giant.
Right, yeah, I was just like diving and catching everything.
That's an interesting point, though, about like the growth of soccer in the US. In the UK, it's the perfect weather conditions to play, you know?
True.
So that could have a factor
in it. True, because it's cooler, right?
Yeah, it's cooler. It's raining, it's perfect weather.
Also, it's great for us that soccer's not so... We are, basically, we are the best soccer trick shot guys in the world.
That's perfect.
That's one of the ways we've built ourselves up. So you do a trick shot with a soccer ball or football in the UK and people think, wow, that's incredible. You do it in the States and people are like, oh my God, did you see what they just did? Yeah. They didn't throw it, they kicked it, and they went in the target. Yeah.
Because you guys do a lot of trick shots too, right?
We do a lot of trick shots.
Who are they, Legendary Shots? Have you done stuff with them?
We haven't collaborated with them yet.
You know who they are though?
We're meant to do Dude Perfect. That was meant to be last week.
Yeah.
Yeah. And all those accounts, like Bodie Smith? Is that his name? All these
Brody.
Other Brody Smith,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, we've done him.
He's you have done him?
Brody's incredible. Glass.
See, I wanna do all. I'm a big Ultimate Frisbee guy.
Oh, really?
Really?
He's incredible, by the way.
I love Ultimate Frisbee.
Yeah.
I love disc golf. I don't know if you've heard of disc golf.
No.
It's like golf with frisbees.
Okay.
There's buckets and you like throw it into the buckets. It goes like hundreds of yards and you try to make it in. So I love any of this stuff. And so I'm like, God, I would love to do some of this stuff someday. Just like trick shot. This is the most fun. Like basketball.
He's your man. He sets up the collabs.
That's part of the sports, right?
Those are
yeah. Yeah, yeah. I'm going to do a collab with those guys.
Mate, let's do one, all three of us. Let's do round two with Brody. We did a battle with Brody before. It went down so well. Yeah, he was doing frisbee shots. We had to match it with a football.
Dude, I'll throw a football, hit the frisbee. You'll kick a ball and hit the frisbee and score it or something.
That's a viral right there.
You're in.
Let's do it.
You're in.
Let's do it. What's the craziest trick shot you guys have done where you're like, I can't believe we pulled that off?
Wow, what a question.
Because you do stuff where there's like bottles on top of the crossbars. Did I see one of the videos like that?
Yeah.
Hit something off.
We've done a lot.
I would say the TV show we've done in the UK, where we hit the ball off a rooftop in London into a basketball hoop.
No
on
way.
The volley, that was like...
You kicked it off a rooftop into a basketball hoop.
On the volley. It's really hard to do.
Mm-hmm.
In the air, you mean?
Yeah, like throw it up, volley, straight into the basketball hoop.
How many tries did that take?
Oh, how many tries did that one take? There's a bit of wind on the day, so you kind of had to account for it to go.
Was it one or two? It was a few. But no, the harder trick shots, you know, it's numbers game. You put it in that area and you hope that one drops. Sometimes you get lucky, sometimes you don't. Yeah, exactly.
Was there ever a trick shot video that you were going to attempt and you're like, God, we've just been here for 4 hours, the sun's going down.
Occasionally, you try. It's like that girl at high school that you used to like and you thought, if I'm persistent, I'm going to get something with this. And then something you just think, nah, you know.
Yeah, it's like that time at Britain's Got Talent where I got second place.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
But it's rare. Normally, we know our abilities and we know our limits.
Yeah.
So you know if we're trying a shot, we fully believe, kind of know that we can do it.
Mm.
Yeah.
He always brings it back to the girl in high school. I don't think he can let it go.
Yeah, right?
He can't let it go.
Mate.
Is she married with two kids?
Yeah, yeah.
Let me text her now. Let me dip back in.
Hello, man. Yeah. What's been the greatest moment for you guys with people you've met, who you've inspired? What is the thing that someone said to you that's shaped their life because of what you're doing, or is there a moment you can remember about this?
Well, there's many examples. It's just overwhelming. One thing that stands out for me was we were working in Brighton.
I've been to Brighton.
Yeah, it's a nice
the Rock
place.
Beach.
Yeah.
And the big Indian temple or whatever. It's nice.
It's
nice.
Hippie-fied, but right, it's nice. Yeah. It's cool.
I laid in the grass there. Yeah, of course. Yeah.
Bit of grounded.
Yeah. Get away from the city.
Yeah.
Sunset. Yeah. Anyways.
So we were filming there, and we went back to our hotel afterwards, and we just got out of the taxi. And there was a family walking up the street. They must have been on holiday there. And the young boy saw us, and like I looked at him and gave him a nod, and then he started walking towards us with his family, and by the time he got to us, he was literally in floods of tears, where he couldn't believe that he had met us. Mm. So we like signed a football for him, and I got a Rascal tracksuit sent through to him. And just to see the fact of what we meant to that child was like, it was truly incredible that we could mean that much to somebody, for them to physically cry of emotion. Mm-hmm. And that is, that for me, just put it into perspective of how much we've achieved and how far we've gone. Mm. It's just incredible. Yeah. Hopefully he was crying happiness, not
Isn't it fun though, when we pursue our dreams with such passion and play and joy, mm-hmm. what we can inspire in other people?
100%.
I think, you know, some people may think like, oh, these are just a couple like YouTube guys who just like mm-hmm. kick a football around, but really, you do it with such passion and fun, and you show people what's possible for their lives. And for me, that's what gets me excited. That's why I do what I do with mm-hmm. passion, because I want other people to see, we were talking about this beforehand, like what is possible for themselves. Maybe they're going through some adversity and you give them some comedic mm-hmm. relief or inspiration or something. And then when they meet you, they're like, thank you so much for giving me those moments of courage, inspiration, hope, whatever.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. For me, my answer to that question would be, we did a book signing.
What's your book called again?
It's called F2 World of Football, Play Like a Pro. And it's just like, it's got juicy stories of when we've met pro players and things that people wouldn't expect. It's got tutorial section, and it's got our story, our journey of where we started from and how we got to where we are. Because people are curious.
Yeah.
And it's important, really. It's really important.
Yeah.
Message.
And the underlying theme of the book is exactly what you just said, the positivity of, if you are going through adversity, to stick with it. It's like encouragement that you can make a success of yourself. Don't give up. Work hard. Believe in yourself. That's like the ethos of the book. And we had a book signing in the biggest shopping centre in the UK, and we smashed the record. It was the biggest book signing of 2016.
No way.
The queue was like 5 hours long.
Shut up.
Yeah, it was incredible.
We felt a bit bad for the fans that they had to wait for that long, but the reason why they had to wait that long is because each kid that came through, we spent like a minute with them to make it a personal experience for them. But when we were doing the book signing, one parent came to us and he watched us with his kids. We took a minute with his kid, asked him his name, what team he plays for, what position, made him feel like on top of the world. And then the parent came over and said, you guys, I just want to say, you are a force for good. Mm. Yeah. And for us, like, that really stands out, because we do try as hard as we can to be positive, good role models. We don't feel like there's enough soccer players that take on that responsibility. And the kids do look up to us, don't they? The same as they look up to the top footballers. And we feel the responsibility and obligation to be a positive role model to the kids. Mm. And when that parent said that to us, it was like affirmation. Awesome. You guys are doing all right. Mm. Yeah.
That's awesome, guys. That's awesome. Well, I want to finish with a few final questions. Where can people connect with you online? Where's the best place? Do you like them to go to Instagram, YouTube? And is it all the same handle?
I would say YouTube would probably be the best, because you can see all our content there, and we're the F2 Freestylers on YouTube. Mm-hmm. We have different handles for different social medias, which can be complicated, but YouTube's the best one.
YouTube's the best one, and it's F2 Freestylers.
And it's the same on Instagram or no? F2 Freestylers?
The F2.
Yeah.
We should have thought about that when we started out.
It's all good.
That's true.
And you guys have personal accounts too that you hang out on, or mostly?
No, not really. Just for friends and family.
That's
another interesting thing. When we were both successful individually, we had to almost die to ourselves to bring everything into the brand.
You had to die, is that what you said?
Yeah, kind of. Yeah. Like, stop posting on our personal social media.
All one now.
Yeah.
Let people know.
Go all in.
Because me and Jeremy were both like performers. We didn't want people to think, oh, I favour this person, I favour that. They had to realise the F2 was one. Mm-hmm. We're not like, if we don't battle against each other, we both have strengths that come together and create the F2.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
So, we did have to let go of our own egos.
That's true. But look what you created by letting go.
By letting go of your
ego and coming together, you create something bigger than either of you could have ever done alone.
For sure.
1,000 times better, probably, right?
That's true, that's true. And then from the F2 brand, we created another brand, which started as the baby brand, but has now outgrown even the F2.
What's that?
And that is Rascal Clothing. That's our clothing range.
So your clothing line is...
It's bigger.
Bigger than F2.
Not in terms of social media, But in terms of a business,
in terms of revenue and sales, yeah. So you're making more the clothing line than on the YouTube
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is incredible.
Crazy. And yeah. When did you guys launch that?
So we launched it 3 years ago. Basically, when Jeremy was performing, when we first started the F2, Jeremy would wear, he got these pants tapered at the bottom, like dancers do. Mm. So you have the looseness above the knee in the quad area, and then you don't have anything impeding you around the ankle area, so you've got the movement still. And we love them, and we need to make tracksuits like this for when we're performing, so we did.
We're like, where'd you get them from?
And then we said, we've got to make a brand out of this. Mm. Do we call it the F2? If we call it the F2 and the F2 starts to go downhill or our brand dies, does the clothing brand die? Mm. We want it to be a standalone brand in its own right. So we come up with the name Rascal on the plane back from a job from Dubai.
Yeah. That's a hard part of a business, by the way, coming up with a name.
Yeah.
Took us a few days and we were just having calls.
Yeah, yeah.
What about just saying words, random words. And then Bill said Rascal and then I was like, that's it.
Yeah,
so
the moment I got
you just kept saying Rascal.
Yeah, it works.
Yeah, Rascal.
So the moment we got off the plane, I remember I found the checks for Rascal and there was a rascalclothing.co.uk. There wasn't a rascalclothing.com. There wasn't a registered trademark for Rascal Clothing. There wasn't.
Wow.
Yeah, so basically I'd registered everything.
Amazing.
I waited for rascalclothing.co.uk. It was a dying brand, and eventually they let the website run out.
Sure.
It wasn't selling anything. And I flew over to Turkey. Didn't know nothing about clothing companies. I researched that's the best cotton manufacturer. Flew over there with the tracksuits, went to 5 different factories, and I said, I'm not leaving until you supply me samples.
Wow.
And I'm ready to invest by the time I leave here in the best sample.
Wow.
And literally placed our first order, which was £40,000. And the first day of launching, we made that back within hours.
Unbelievable.
Like that, on the very first day. In fact, we sold out within the first week of our first order. Then we had to wait 6 weeks for the next batch to come in. It's the worst because we could have trebled that investment. But this is a learning curve, and it's incredible. Now we're in 40 stores in the UK. The first year we sold 38,000 items of clothing. Mm-hmm. It's like really good going.
Thank you.
Congrats.
And for just us two starting it up on our own to be able to grow it like that. Now we have four members of staff now full time.
Yeah.
It's an incredible achievement.
And from a business point of view, we believe one of the main reasons why Rascal has been so successful is that we've built up a massive following on social media, mm-hmm. which nearly every business wants to because it only helps business. But we could have just brought out t-shirts with F2 logo on it or pictures of our face with no USP and they would have still sold.
Yeah.
But we thought, no, we're going to come up with a USP, which is the unique fit and design of every item in our range. Add that USP to the humongous following, and that comes back to the devastating combination.
We're there.
I love it.
The funny thing is with Rascal is I really see that as our baby. I mean, with the F2, obviously that's our baby and that's our main love, but the thing is that's our talent. Mm. So you can kind of see that if you put your mind to it, what I can see and you can see that if we put our mind to it, we can achieve that because you can do it with your own talent. But with a clothing company that you have no idea about, it's kind of like you have to research it.
Mm.
So to make a success out of something that you haven't got a talent in is like, it really means a lot to us.
Yeah.
Sure. It's amazing.
And with both F2 and Rascal, we saw a niche, we saw something that there was demand for that no one had thought of yet, and we just went for it. And that can go across the board, any business idea, try and look for a demand, a niche, a gap in the market that needs to be filled, and think of it before anyone else does, because ideas and execution of ideas makes millions. Mm. So that's it really.
Mm.
That's our advice on the business side.
Love it. And where can we get the, check out the brand? Rascalclothing.com, is that what it says?
Yeah, that's
awesome.
Right,
yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, awesome.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Netflix.
Okay, last couple questions. This is, you'll both answer this one. This is called the three truths, and everyone answers this at the end.
Okay.
So if this is the last day for you on Earth many years from now, and you get to share three final thoughts, to the world.
Wow.
You've done so many pieces of content, videos, you've spoken everywhere you want to speak, you've written books, but you only get to say three final things, three lessons or the truths that you would share with the world, and this is all they can remember you by. What would those three truths be? And we'll start with you, Billy.
Wow.
That might just be the best question I've ever heard.
Can you start with yours?
Either one.
All right, three truths.
He's got to redeem himself from dropping the ball, so.
Okay. The first one I'd say is live your life in a way that when you're 80 years old and you look back, you won't regret. You won't have regrets. Because they did a survey and there was 100 elderly people on their deathbeds and they asked them, what's your biggest regret in life? And every single one of them gave different answers, but they were also the same answer. And it wasn't something that they did in their life, it was something that they didn't do. So that would be my first one. Second one would be...
I'll do the second one.
Okay.
So we'll balance it so you can think about the second one.
Okay.
This is good.
So this is the first one for you.
Yeah, this is the first one for me. I would say, I don't know, nobody knows how life works, right? But what I've discovered and what I feel is that if you are a good person and you do good things, you create your own luck. So what I would say is be the best person you can be. The nicer you can be and the more you can offer the more the world will offer you. That's my first one. And that's true. That's really what I feel.
That's great. Okay, mm-hmm. Number two.
Number two, I would say be aware of the power of helping others. And what I mean by that is even if you help others for selfish purposes, it's only good outcomes. So if you help someone in need, you've helped them, you've helped someone and that's amazing for them. But the feeling that you get from helping someone personally, that's amazing for you too. So everyone benefits. So why wouldn't you constantly be helping everyone in every situation that you can? That would be my second one.
It's a good one.
Okay.
Nice. My second one would be to take people's advice, but don't let them steer your careers. Even if they mean so much to you, these people are in your life, whether it's your parents or your siblings or family or close friends. Ultimately, if you know you can achieve something, go out there and do that. It's up to your mind and yourself to do it. Don't let other people steer your careers. It's happened to me before with my family when I wanted to go into the freestyling, and people sometimes think they've got your best interests at heart, but really they're just trying to protect you. But if you want to go out there and succeed, you have to do something that no one else does, right? Not the norm. You have to go that extra mile, and some people can't see that. So don't let other people steer your careers just because they think it's right. If you think you can go out there and get something, you can go out there and get something.
Yeah, I like it. Okay, and number three.
Number three, I would say, ask yourself questions like this all the time. For example, so many people go through life and they never stop to ask themselves big, deep and meaningful questions like what you're probably the best on the planet at. For example, what is my biggest passion in life? What gives me the most satisfaction? And from that, you can work from that. Like, once you realize your biggest passion in life, you can see if you can put together a strategy and an action plan of how you can either make a career of that, or if it's not going to be lucrative and it might have to be a hobby, and you fund your greatest passion by doing something that isn't your greatest passion, but it facilitates you doing your greatest passion. What I'm trying to say is, whatever your greatest passion is, do not go through your life without doing it, either as a career or a hobby. That's it.
That was good. My last one would be, and this is really hard to do, and I don't think anyone is so hard to do, but try and remember how lucky you already are. Okay, people always want that next step up in life. That's society, right? The next the next, whether it's bigger income or a nicer shirt or a new iPhone, strip that back, you don't realise how lucky you already are. And an example that I can give for that is my father passed away in November. I was always striving for the next thing in my life, and I realised, hang on a minute, strip that back, look what I've got. You have to work backwards and appreciate what you've got first and foremost. That's the most important thing.
Yeah.
And whoever you are, if you look, people sometimes think they've got it hard. Everyone thinks they can have better, but really we're all lucky in some way, shape or form. And you have to kind of remember that and take that with you.
Yeah, we made it. Yeah. We're here.
Yeah, exactly. And it's so true. People say, oh, no matter what's going on in your life, there's always worse that's happening. Mm-hmm. But that is so true. And you can always think of something that you're blessed with, mm-hmm. if you want to, if you have that mindset.
Right.
And I realise that more now than ever about family and what life means through experiencing something bad in my life. I realise that now more than ever.
Well, Jeremy and Billy, I appreciate you guys coming on, and I want to acknowledge you both for being a couple of kids from the UK who's followed your dreams and stuck to it and done things that most people aren't willing to do because it's scary to do, to go out and do something no one's really ever going to do. You guys have led the way. You've inspired so many other kids to chase their dream in soccer and in other areas of their life, and you're making a business out of it. So I want to acknowledge you both for being incredible human beings, and hopefully next time I'm in London, we'll connect and do some trick shots or something together, and you can teach me something new.
For sure. So,
thank you for having us. It's been a pleasure, man.
One final question for both of you.
Okay here we go. Not one of his questions.
Yeah.
He asked good questions.
Final question is, what's the definition of greatness for both of you?
Oh, wow. You are definitely the best question asker in the world. What is the definition of greatness for us?
For you?
The definition of greatness.
Should we have Billy go first since you went first?
Probably,
last time?
Yeah.
Mine is just one word, happiness.
Okay.
Yeah, I like that answer. Happiness for yourself or others, just, yeah. Yeah, I think so. And it's good that what we do does make people happy. It's in the entertainment realm, but why do we have, whether it's soccer, NBA, NFL, hockey, baseball, why has humankind created these sports? It's because entertainment makes us happy.
Yeah.
So that's what we're in the business of, as well as other things. But yeah, good answer. That's the right answer.
Awesome, guys. Well, I appreciate you coming on. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
There you have it, greats. I hope you enjoyed this one. I hope you gained some valuable information. I always love connecting again with powerful athletes who turn into entrepreneurs and who figure things out. Again, both these guys never made it professionally, but they were able to make an amazing business and build a massive audience, even though they weren't professionals. They used their craft and their talent to create another value add in the world, and they've built a massive audience in the process. So by being creative, they've created some amazing results in their life. If you enjoyed this one, make sure to share it out. LewisHowes.com/472. Make sure to follow the F2 Freestylers over on Instagram and on social media. Check out their YouTube videos. They're addictive. I watch them over and over because it's amazing what they can do. And leave us a review, iTunes.com/greatness, for your chance to be the review of the week. I love you guys very much. You've got one life. You've got many dreams, but it's your responsibility to make these dreams come true. Don't let another day slip away from taking action, from sharing love in the world, and from being great. It's all about the journey. Enjoy today, make the most of it, and you know what time it is. It's time to go out there and do something great.